except for to talk about worship. And what it might look like in the days ahead. This isn't really a time to prescribe anything since there are a number of people who aren't able to be here, but because they're not here. So, I don't know, we want to kind of brainstorm, talk about how, the big question I think is, what are possibly some ways, help me phrase this, Scott, that worship can be
that we can come
fully
together
welcoming
and
yeah.
That we can come together and move ahead.
Move ahead.
Yeah.
But if there's other ways to phrase the question, feel free to suggest that.
Come on in.
I think there's a, I don't know if there's a consensus, I guess there's a strong feeling that we don't just go back to quote unquote normal. We don't, obviously we don't just, and the fact that we obviously deal with what we're, where we're at and we can figure out how to do that together in worship. So. And
where are we?
Where are we? We're in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. So we deal with where we're at, though. Just kind of speaking out loud, you know, I'm like, okay, where are we then?
We have to go around and see where we are.
Maybe that would be good.
Mm-hmm. We have a very small sampling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty small village at the moment.
Yeah. So you have to kind of build some bigger.
I'm not going to pretend to speak for anybody else.
Yeah, speak from your own reality, unless you, if you don't feel you want to answer that question, then you certainly don't have to speak. But if we could go around and say kind of where we are, where you are as an individual, as far as worship goes, that would maybe be a good place to start.
Well, I've been disappointed with how we have handled just this whole crisis, and that if I had been told that this kind of, some kind of crisis would come in this kind of form, I would have expected Holden to have come together in prayer and worship. And so it's been really discouraging for me to see something very different happen, where people seem to split apart. And I just can't help but think of how different this would have felt, the whole issue, if the whole village could have been involved in support of the ones who were in pain, rather than what felt like giving everybody pain. The ones that were up there in solidarity with people who were in pain were in pain. The ones who were down here feeling like somehow they were somehow being punished or separated were in pain. And it just was, it has been a very depressing village. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it could have been something very different that would have brought us together. And I wish I had some way of figuring out how it could have taken or can take that kind of role. I also see this as supposed to be a paradigm, a model for somehow how we would handle this on the outside. Mm-hmm. And if there had been some kind of crisis within a church, is that the way you would have thought it would have been best to handle it on the outside? And how could we model something that might, I didn't think this was very functional the way it happened. Maybe other people felt it was.
Yes. I'm not ready yet. You can give us someone else to do.
Yeah, I'd like to give somebody else a chance too.
I think for me, early on, the place I felt I needed to be was in the dining hall and not here in this worship space. It became more problematic in the last few days, right before the phone conversation last night, because, well, I guess ever since the decision that was made that David would go out and try to convene the executive committee as quickly as possible, and, you know, at that point I felt like our power to change how that was going to happen didn't have any power in that. And so for some reason worship felt like a different space to me in terms of it no longer personally hit me that I felt like I wasn't welcome here or it wasn't appropriate to be here. And so then I was torn between, do I stand in solidarity with people who still don't feel welcome here, or do I come and worship? And so I felt like I needed to be in two places at once. But I don't know how we could have handled the issue of the very real feeling of not feeling welcome at worship. How do you create worship then, mm-hmm. if that's the reality for some people?
We're going around sharing where we're at with worship.
I can speak. I have felt called in a very intuitive way to come into Fireside for worship while this is going on, every single night. And that's been a really interesting thing for me because you know, I go a lot on my intuition, and I thought also a lot about it, and came to several things. I have learned so much I've just learned a lot in the last several weeks, a lot. And one thing I've learned is that this tension that was in place was effective in bringing change to the surface. It's like bringing pus up to the top of a sore. You know it's there and you have to fix it. It's treatable then. And the way I looked at my intuition to be here at Fireside was that I'm still totally in solidarity, and that's the way I felt about it. And I still felt that we were all unified, and that I felt, unlike you, I felt like we were able to share the pain of other people through this. That's the pain that I felt, was like we were a net kind of sharing each other's pain. And I felt fine about being here and making sure that there was something to have tension against. I don't know, maybe it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But I yearn also, I mean, I think there's pain on both sides. There's pain looking at empty chairs in here, for sure. And there's pain going up and seeing the people that you wish you could have been worshiping with. But I had a strong feeling that nonetheless we are unified in the same cause. And that I celebrate. I totally celebrate. And I yearn for the day that we feel like celebrating together as a full community that we are. And I don't hurry to that point because I think it needs to. I want to be led by the people who are in pain at this point in time, and I haven't heard a lot from. I think it's very soon, really quick, to talk about where we're all at. I haven't heard from any of the GLBT people except for Eric just now. You know, and I don't think I knew where I was even just a couple hours ago. I think it's really early.
Yeah, I don't think we're trying to push it.
Right.
We want to.
It's nice to check in.
Yeah.
No, I it was really interesting being out and being in South Dakota.
Wow.
It's a much different place. especially, you know, I've lived in Washington my whole life, so it's really interesting for me to visit places that are different than what I'm used to, and you know, and really having to, on a daily basis, more so have that sort of feeling that I can't hold Emily's hand in public, or you know, so it was really hard being in that place and being here where we're comfortable, and then going to that place was hard. And I think, you know, in talking to Emily's dad about what was happening here, you know, and he was having a really hard time understanding how we could use worship as something that, you know, that to him was just, he couldn't grasp it at all. And it was really hard to explain it to somebody who wasn't here and who didn't experience all the things that we experience together as a community, all of those forums that we have with everyone just pouring out their, you know, how they felt about the situation and, you know, just all of that power that it had. And it just sort of brought back that whole idea that, you know, the reason why, at least I feel like, that was effective in the community, and the reason why we're able to do it in this community is because this community is right there. It's ready. You know, it's like, here we have this community that's ready to take that step and that's ready to be fully welcoming, and that's why it's effective, is because, you know, there's no way we could have not gone to worship in Custer and had any effect whatsoever. Nobody would have cared, except for maybe Emily's family. So, I mean, it sort of made me think about what, you know, the effect that it was having on the community, in the way that even though it was painful, and even though, you know, for a lot of people it was a really icky place to be, it was also really powerful in helping us grow even stronger as a community. To me, at least, that's the way I feel about it, is feelings are feelings. You know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But I guess for me right now, after the phone call, I'm feeling like, you know, I can't help but be worried. I'm trying not to be pessimistic. I'm trying to be optimistic because I really want to be in worship, and I don't want to wait until June. And I really want to be able to move forward. And so I'm trying to feel comfortable again. And it's still a little bit hard because there's still that sort of question as to, I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel like the impression that I'm under is that the committee is saying, yeah, UCP all the way, you know, regardless of the call process. We need to figure out the call process, and now that's the issue. The issue is in DCP, and so I'm feeling more comfortable with that. I hope that's the case come June. I would be really devastated to find out that it wasn't, and that, you know, we sort of weren't continuing to really do something until then. I would hate to feel comfortable again, and then find out in June that isn't what they meant in this phone call. So that worries me a little bit, but so yeah, I guess that's sort of where I'm sitting right now. It was lengthy.
Yeah, I think that one of the important things for me, at least in worship, will be finding ways to worship in which we can repair the trust. You know, I feel like on a lot of sides, people feel like trust has been broken, and I think what I hope for, what I yearn for, is ways in which we can ritualize the building of trust in worship.
I have one more thing.
Absolutely.
I've been thinking about fullness of God as a congregation, and I guess I sort of feel like in order to have because when you have a congregation that you're part of, you're sort of part of something that does have a voice and that does have, say, the power to hire a pastor or whatever. You know, you have that sort of glue. And so I've been thinking about, you know, the possibility of, I mean, right now, the way, and I know that Holden is sort of a different place, and so that's why they have a different way of doing the hiring. But I wonder if we all didn't decide to become a member of Fullness of God as a congregation, if we couldn't sort of move towards that idea of you know, maybe having more of a voice in that process and still being part of, you know, hopefully having a seat at the Senate Assembly, even if we hire ECP. That to me would be, yay, huge, you know, huge if we were able to be, still have that seat and be a congregation. So I think that it would feel good to me to work towards actually being a congregation, I guess.
Lots of thoughts going through my head. A certain part of me is very ambivalent about worship right now. As I've expressed to several people in here, I had no qualms about being in worship when people first started abstaining. And actually, I felt very positive about being in worship because that's where I felt called to be and where I wanted to be and where I was having my spiritual needs met and where I felt I was best able to meet and contribute to community. I'm struggling a little bit more with it now. I'm not resolved on that point. Ideas where, and I'm not feeling a connection as strongly to worship. Maybe different portions of it during either Sunday or daily sort of devotional worships, but not sort of worship as a cohesive unit, either giving away of self or filling up self or soul or whatnot. It's just not happening for me. In this juncture, which, you know, is sort of a cyclical thing anyway, it could happen anywhere for any number of reasons. Where I have found most of my strength in the past several days is in groups much like this, in the intentional moments, times of dialogue and sharing of self. And as far as trust building and community building is concerned, that might be my suggestion. Do some more intentional small group discussions, area of feelings. There have been a number of ideas related to that already put forward by a number of people as far as what that might look like. And I have, you know, since I first arrived here at Holden, also been a proponent of some of what Allison was describing about the need for a defined fullness of God. I think having a congregation clearly defined, developed, delineated is still important for me as far as feeling a sense of belonging and healing. I appreciate the emphasis on listening to the LGBT community, but for me, it's starting to move a little bit too far towards that, because there's a lot, sort of the topics that we're discussing now involve everyone in the community. And it's heard that everyone is experiencing that feeling. And so as much as there's still portions of that and elements of that where the LGBT community as a whole and as individuals need to be listened to with particular care, I don't want what I might say would be a parallel phenomena of white guilt sort of creeping in. Because the hurt that's been produced in the community as a whole is equally valid and important as far as we proceed in the process of rebuilding that trust and rebuilding whatever might not be fully unified. So I just need to say that because I think that's been part of my discomfort the past couple days as well. This wanting everyone to be fully recognized, and I was thinking that we're starting to err in manners that would act against that.
As we talk about rebuilding trust, it strikes me that we paying attention to the covenants that have been the source of breakdowns of trust is important to both lift up the covenant of worship, but also the covenant of hospitality. And those are the two covenants that have kind of played off each other in this. And so just to focus on the covenant of worship, or just the other one separately, I mean, they just feel like they're really inextricably entwined right now. And if we could somehow ritually reaffirm our trust in both of those, that would perhaps be what one step forward. And I hear Allison saying, how much can we trust that covenant of hospitality? And that's an important question to really answer.
When are the new directors coming?
September 1 for now. I mean, that was a tentative date, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's fairly firm.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, it could change, but that's the date that they're planning on right now.
Which date?
September 1st.
September 1st.
No, I mean, what is that for? I didn't hear what you said.
For the new directors to write.
Okay.
I've been continuing to come to worship, not because I don't respect the people who have not been able to be here, either because it did not feel like a safe place for them to worship, or because I felt they needed to be with those folks. And like Kristen, I felt a strong pull to want you to know how much I support you, but at the same time not being able to not be here. Kind of in the same way that you weren't able to be here, I wasn't able to not be here. This is where I get a lot of my strength and connection, and I still have that trust. Knowing the board members, not agreeing and mourning for what happened, but I told you and Emily at that one meeting when we said we were taking this to the executive committee for their approval that I felt very confident that our board understands this and supports the GLBT community and would support this call. I was surprised by the delay, like everybody else, but I still feel very confident that that's the direction that we're moving in, and I want to continue to move positively in that direction. As far as worship is concerned, which is really what we're talking about here, like everybody else, I have no intention of trying to drag people back in, but I also want to be as welcoming and as, I mean, there's going to be a very fine line between encouraging people and inviting people to come and people feeling pressured that they have to come. But that process has to start at some point for people to begin to know that at least from our perspective, we welcome you to come back to.
I think the more I think about where my reluctance comes from, it's not from worship here. It's not, I really enjoy worship here, and I think we all really enjoy worship here, and we all really want to be there. I think the hardest thing is the fear of the Lutheran church right now. really scares me, you know? And so I think that's where it comes from, is feeling like, you know, Poland's roots are so deeply, you know, we're rooted in the Lutheran tradition, which, you know, is wonderful. And I consider myself Lutheran. But that is why it makes it hard, you know, because it's like, here I am, I consider myself Lutheran, but the Lutheran Church is not taking a stand on this. And that's partially why I want to be in Holden, is because I feel like it's a place for, you know, us to lead the Lutheran Church in doing that. So I think for me to feel like, to want to participate in worship here is to really, you know, be active in being that role. And I think that's partly why we chose worship, which is such an important part of this community's fabric, to sort of make that action happen. Because I do feel like, you know, that call with the committee wouldn't have happened, and we wouldn't have got this this quick of a reaction from them unless we had done something. Even though it was hard, I think it was important. I guess I'm still kind of, my reluctance that it isn't the community and it isn't how we do worship. It's that we continue to sort of be a, and do something, stay active, I should say. Stay active in being a leader for the Lutheran Church, because that's, to me, that's what makes me want to be in worship. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what makes me feel like I can be a part of it and it means something to me. If I'm feeling like it's lopsided, that we're really waiting on the Lutheran Church to make these decisions, and we're waiting on this, you know, we're waiting on the assembly, we're waiting on this, that discourages me, because I know where that goes. Or at least it has gone. So.
Well, you know, I mean, I just came in 6 days ago, so I'm not a participant in the conversations that I've had at this point. And I know there are people who are abstaining from worship because they genuinely don't feel this is their place. But my instinct is there are many more people who are using worship as a political pawn. And I think that, you know, they're using abstaining as a means of accomplishing something else. Not that they don't feel welcome here. They're using it as a means of accomplishing something. And I think that I think that just is going to lead to trouble in the life of this village. If people feel that is a valid way to accomplish what are essentially, you know, and you know that, and it's, and you know, I have a lot of pain. I mean, the other day somebody asked me if I want to come sit at, join them at the GBLT lunch table, you know, and it just didn't register. I mean, so we even have lunch tables, you know, because they said we're going to plan there. I thought, well, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go sit at the GBLT lunch table. Mm-hmm. You know, it's things like that just, you know, for me, that my sexual orientation and my religion are, you know, it's something that I've struggled with my entire life. So, you know, I come from a different perspective than people, you know, who are at peace with that. So when I come up here and see all of this, you know, for me, that's all don't ask, tell. You know, I try in my mind, you know, I go to a reconciled conversation just so that I know I won't get yelled at, you know, by the preacher. But so when I come up here, I'm seeing this all played out again, and it just causes me a lot of discomfort. And part of me was being very selfish. I wanted to come up here and worship because I have a lot of pain in my life, and part of my anger is based just on my selfish need. But I think, I don't know, I think worship is just so crucial, an important part of this community. And that's all I have to say.
I think for me that's that's the question that I hope that people can help Scott and I and others creatively answer. How can we address that tension in the village? That for some people it has been, I cannot be there. For others it has been, I won't be there because I need to show my solidarity with those who cannot be there. And for some people it's been a mix of that and political action, like making a statement. And that's been a tension throughout this whole thing. Like, how do we keep the focus off of being upset about that political action part while being supportive of those who really can't be there, and respecting that decision and that need, along with those who are simply abstaining because they want to be in solidarity with those who can't be there. So there's been a little friction and tension throughout this whole thing, and so part of my deep desire is that we can somehow find a way for worship to walk that little tiny line in between all of those and kind of thread them all together so that our worship can be what it has needed to be for those who have been in worship, that strengthening, grounding piece, so that it can be that for everyone, and a community unifying piece for everyone, and a way to keep that political tension alive without politicizing our worship. Worship is always political, but without just always, you know, without it being kind of a drain on life in the political sense. Does that make sense to people? That where it's just kind of a downer, because we are working this constantly, and it is constant work. But how can our worship be an energizing force for the socio-political work that has to get done, and kind of honor the different steps without maybe weighting it, as you said, John, you know, erring on leaning one way, but also listening very attentively to the GLBT people in this community, because they have been the ones who have been hurting the most. So that balance is what I've been hoping to find, and it's, if I heard somebody said, I think John, you said that the idea has been thrown out to do this, small group something or other, and...
Or just the open communication between different parties, mm-hmm. with different perspectives and different views, mm-hmm. not in a traditional community meeting format.
Right.
A large group community meeting format, just thinking about, I really want to be at the meeting tonight on communication. I can't, on technology and community, I just can't do it. I don't want to be in another large group meeting, mm-hmm. you know? But smaller settings, I feel like I'm able to communicate and I still have the energy for that.
Those kinds of ideas, I think, maybe could get incorporated into worship, mm-hmm. in a way that might be helpful. So one great hope I have is that anybody who has any idea about any of this,
come talk. Are you saying worship in small groups, or are you saying meetings?
I'm saying worship can incorporate this idea for small group discussion. We've done it before.
We've gathered
as a large group, and then you break into small groups. And so we could, you know, we can certainly do that. My largest problem is I have not had the creative faculties to think of those kinds of things. But if anybody else who does, tell me. Is it getting on towards worship, Jim?
It's getting on. I wanted to speak to Craig's thing too, because I had voiced something right when this was going on about how it felt like, I mean, in a much different scale, kind of similar to 9/11, where this thing, this big catastrophe happens, and people are motivated to be compassionate and supportive, and then it turns ugly after that. And I'm not saying that that's what's happening now at all, but I think that we all need to be individually vigilant in our motives and our
compassion towards one another, and to be listening for real individual and maybe group, I don't know, real things going on, and not power issues, not the wrong power issues. We need to stay focused on the real issues and not make different issues, I think. And I don't see that, I mean, I see the potential for that maybe happening, but I don't see it happening now. I just think we need to be careful.
And give each other, you said there's already a lot of compassion, a lot of space for grace is one of the phrases.
That's been a theme lately for me, is to not get hung up on the semantics or the necessarily even the tactics, if we want to use that term, which I don't really like, but I can't think of another one. But to trust that people are working out of their own truth and their own community-minded need, you know, for a positive outcome. So people have different ways of doing that. And I think the strength of this community has been, so far, allowing that to happen without getting really hung up. But we have gotten kind of hung up on little things. Mm-hmm. Little things that people say, or what we assume is the meaning behind this action or this thing. Instead of asking for clarification and looking for deeper understanding, instead of just saying, apparently that's where they are right now, and that's where they are. You know, and kind of letting that be okay. And even if I don't understand it, letting it be okay, because apparently they understand it. And certainly continuing the dialogue so that we can understand one another. I think that's a key thing.
While this had been going on, I also have been coming to worship and thinking that my place was here in part as I thought of the persecuted groups many persecuted groups in the past, and how I think that they, in a sense, drew together in worship, or that was the power and the force that brought them through a difficult time. So that's why I thought my place was here. But on the other hand, I understood that I thought of C.S. Lewis or the time when he was moved away from his faith in the church, and then ultimately came back. So I think I could well understand the situation that others were in. So ultimately, that's, I guess, the way my thinking has been. That is a unifying force that will help to bring us all together in the same direction.
We're getting on towards worship time. Thank you for being here. And I really mean it. If you have anything that you need to say about worship that you haven't been able to see here, if you have ideas for worship, we're kind of going day by day to try to get a sense of where the village is each day, but we're happy to hear insights from just what anybody. So come and let me know, or come talk to Scott. That would be really great. Thank you all for being here. You might want to go put some warmer clothes on for worship.